Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please your help in preaching this message this morning. Help us, dear God, as we take this wonderful, wonderful thing called life, and we break it down into segments or sections, and we talk about it and teach about it, Lord, and see what the Scriptures have to say. I pray, Lord, as we talk about the teenage years, dear God, this season of preparation, we pray, Lord, that you would please, Lord, speak to our hearts, help us, Lord, as adults, to be a blessing to our teenagers and know how to be a better blessing to them. And may the teenagers be challenged, dear God, to be all that they should be and can be for you during these important years. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I started last Sunday morning a summer series of messages on the seasons of life. And we introduced it by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to every purpose under the sun. I told the story of asking Brother Williams, Tom Williams, as I was turning 39 years of age, asked him about what should I expect in the 40s. And I've done that just about in every decade of my adult life. I wanted to talk to people who had been through their 20s before I got into my 20s. I wanted to talk to people that had been through their 30s before I entered my 30s. And it's just the way I've looked at it. And I do believe the Bible says that there are purposes connected to every time period of our life. And so this is the second message in that series. Last week we preached on the childhood years, a season of growing. And this Sunday, I want to preach on this subject. Just look at five things concerning the teenage years, a season of preparation. Young people, I'm excited for you. If you're, I was thinking about this week. If you took this brand new baby that y'all had, and we were to have him come and hold him, and then you were to set beside him a 10-year-old boy, you think of all that changes and transpires in that first 10 years of life. And then, though, you take the 10-year-old boy and you take a 20-year-old man and stand him beside him. And you know what? Once again, you talk about the first two decades, changes going on and transformation. And so these are awfully important years, the first 20 years. I'm going to focus today on ages 11 to age 20. We're going to talk about the teenage years or the years of your youth. And I've entitled the message, A Season of Preparation, A Season of Preparation. Young people, I want you to take that thought. I want you to latch on to it. Your second phase of life is a time for you to be preparing. It's a time for you to be laying a foundation. There's some important things that you need to accomplish in those years. Now, what I've tried to do, and I think you'll agree when you hear the message, I think I've done it successfully, is not just to give you Jerry Ross's opinion on what I think is the primary purposes of these important decades, but we're going to look at the Word of God and see what it says, and I'm going to give you some things as young people. I'm going to preach a lot to the teens because that's who we're talking about. You 20-somethings, we'll get you next week. 30-somethings after that, 40-somethings after that. I'm in my 50-something, so I'll talk eloquently about the first 3 years of your 50s. And then the senior saints, I'm just gathering stories right now. Most of them so far have involved pain and doctors and medication. So I'm trying to find other things beside that. Please help me with that. But today we're talking about the strength of youth, the teenage years, a season of preparation. Boy, you don't want to turn 20 and look back and see a 10-year disaster. You don't want to turn 20 and look back and say, boy, I wasted these years. You don't want to turn 20 and look back and say, oh my goodness sakes, I've created a mess. It's going to take me 10 more years to unravel. You know what? The Bible says this, remember now, N-O-W, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let me give you five things to ponder, five things to work on during your teenage years. the times and the purposes of these years. Number one, I believe it's a season of it ought to be a season of a personal relationship with God. That's what Ecclesiastes 12:1 says. Remember now thy creator. It's not a time to wander from God. It's a time to get to God. It's not a time to forget God. It's a time to remember God. And I believe something. Young people, watch this. You know what? For the first 10 years of your life, mom and dad and Sunday school teachers and primary church workers, they kind of spoon feed this thing to you. And you know what? A lot of times the honest truth is our children, and rightfully so, ride for a while on the coattails of our walk with God and our spirituality and our family devotions and all of those things. But as you go into the second decade of life, young people, I want to challenge you to do this. You need to develop your own personal relationship with God. From the time you're 10 to the time you're 20, you kind of transition from feeding off of other people and being inspired by their walk with God. And I'm not saying some children don't walk with God. And boy, I congratulate those of you that do. Wouldn't it be great if 7-year-olds read their Bible and prayed every morning? Wouldn't it be good if 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds? But hey, let me say this. By the time you're 10, it's time to get serious about this. You need to go find God for yourself. I'm not talking about salvation, but if you're not saved, let me say this. You can't have a relationship with God without going through Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to see the children get saved this week. Oh, my goodness sakes. I mean it. It's hard for me to I think it's part of my age and my decade, but everything, more things make me emotional than used to, and especially to see the tender children get saved and to watch them come and to listen to them speak and to see God's hand in His working in their life and the drawing of the Father and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and this understanding of the gospel, and putting it all together, and God brings them to that amazing moment when they say, I need to be saved. You know, that's one of the great blessings of a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church that has dedicated themselves, and we have, to trying to reach the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fully and heavily invested in reaching children for Jesus Christ. And preacher, I look around the auditorium, I don't see too many children. Well, I can take you to the primary church and you'd see a bunch of them. I could take you out to junior church and you could see a bunch of them. The honest truth is, we couldn't fit everybody in here if we had all of the children. Plus, on purpose, we take them to different parts because we have people that are skilled in teaching and preaching the Bible down to their level because we want them to understand the great things that are contained in this wonderful book. We want them to know God. We want them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, what do you mean, preacher, this personal relationship with God? Well, let me read this to you, and I'm going to ask you to allow me to do this. I don't usually read a lot. I was listening to one of my messages here walk back a while back, and I tend to do that a lot. It's like I ask for your permission, and then I just go ahead and do something anyway. But I guess I'm trying to be gracious. The 10th chapter of my book on biblical masculinity, when I say a chapter, it's 2 pages. Listen to me. You know what? Job spoke about the days of his youth. And he says in Job 29, I'll read this. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle, think about this, when his candle shined upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness. When was this? As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Young people, I hope you're getting this. You know what? You know what helped Job make it through those tough testings later on in adulthood? When he was in his youth, he walked with God. He knew God. He said, you know what? God's candle shined upon me, and by his light I walked through darkness, and the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, speaking of his body. In Psalm 71, we hear from David, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And then Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Let me read this. In the above verses, we have divinely preserved for us the testimony of 3 men. All 3 reminisce about the God young man relationship that each enjoyed in their youth. Job remembers the days of his youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He describes the relationship that he enjoyed with God in his youth thus, when his candle shined upon my head and when by his light I walked through darkness. Job remembered the intimacy of God's presence, the glowing effect it had upon his countenance, and the clarity of direction it brought to each day. When was this? In his youth. David remembers the sweet times of intimate instruction that he received as a young man who sought out God in his youth. He points back to it as the foundation upon which he now stands in his aged years. And from that platform, he now declares the wonderful works of God. Solomon, as an old man, recounts his youthful days and the choice he made to focus them on God. We find these words in Ecclesiastes, the third and final book God allowed him to write. In his old age, he urges young men to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. He begs us not to miss those unique and sweet years with God. He goes on to warn us that there are evil days ahead when we will need the memory of pursuing God in our youth. I wrote this. I am 50 years old as I write this book to you. Let me assure you that I would not trade the relationship I have with God now for the one I had in my youth. I will also quickly add two things. First, I do not believe I would have the depth of relationship I now have with God had I not pursued God in my youth. Secondly, the relationship I now have is not the same as then. It cannot be. But in some ways, then was the most amazing of the years of our walk together. There's something about the youthful heart that can never be reproduced. There's something about a young man or a young lady's relationship with the God in their youth that is uniquely blessed. Maybe it's the fact that we feel everything so deeply when we're young. Maybe it is that there are so many firsts in our relationship as our relationship with God grows. I'm not sure all of it. Maybe our faith is simpler, life is simpler. Maybe it's all of these things. I do know this. If you miss out on walking with God in your youth, you may very well be missing out on the sweetest and most potent moments you will ever have in His presence. And you know what, folks? I'm going to tell you something. As I wrote that from my heart. Don't miss out in your teenage years of deciding that these are going to be the days you remember God and develop your own personal relationship with God. Preacher, are you talking about reading your Bible? Of course. Are you talking about praying? Of course. But far beyond that, I'm talking about walking with God and including Him in every moment of every day. Before you make any decision, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before you go any place, remember now thy Creator in the days of youth. Before you make any decision, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It ought to be a season of a personal relationship with God. Number two, I'm going to have you go to Proverbs chapter 4 if you'll move into your Bible some with me. Proverbs chapter 4. Not only should it be a season of a personal relationship with God, but it ought to be a season of pursuing wisdom. Pursuing wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 4. If you'll go there, Proverbs chapter number 4. I wrote this in the book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, but I believe with all of my heart that the primary activity of your teenage years ought to be that of pursuing wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 4, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now watch this, folks, these are divine words. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not and she shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And you know what? The Bible puts it on the responsibility of the young. Listen, he said, it started out in chapter 4, verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of father, and tend to know wisdom. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He's speaking to a young man here, and he says, listen, get wisdom. Get it. Get understanding. Get it? That means it's your responsibility. Young people, please listen to me. If you'll do this, if you'll follow this, I promise you, you will be thankful the rest of your life. Number one, I believe that your teenage years ought to be a season of having a meaningful, personal, close relationship with God. Number two, your teenage years ought to be occupied with pursuing wisdom. Preacher, how do I pursue wisdom? Well, wisdom is found in this book right here. Let me first of all point you to this book. Now, the Bible will give you wisdom. You know what? You can go a lot of places and try to find out wisdom. The Bible talks about the conflict in 1 Corinthians, about the conflict between what is called the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. Now, let me just help you with that. If any man is ever trying to share with you wisdom, and that wisdom is opposite of what this book says, you know what? They are not giving you wisdom, okay? Because this judges all wisdom. And if it don't line up with this book, it's not wisdom, it's foolishness. And so, first of all, you get into this book. You pursue wisdom through the written word of God. Very specifically, young people, you need to live in the book of Proverbs during your teenage years. Live in the book of Proverbs. Okay, 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Most of our months, or a good number of our months, have either 30 or 31 chapters. Wouldn't it be wise of you just to read a chapter of Proverbs every single day during this second decade of your life? Listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. You see, here's the thing. There's a story told. I don't know if this is true or false, but there's a story told of the training of bank tellers so that they're able to be able at the touch to identify counterfeit money. And they were asked about this. How do they train you so that you're able to, at the touch, recognize counterfeit money? Do they take you somewhere and let you touch a lot of counterfeit money? They said, no. They said, if you will just touch real money on a regular basis, every day of your life, and you touch it just in the flow of the job, every day you're touching the real thing, when you finally touch something that's not the real thing, you know it almost immediately. Now, young people, let me tell you something. There's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of enticers. There's a lot of people that would try to pull you away from the Word of God and your walk with God. Let me tell you how you know what is wisdom and what isn't wisdom. Every day, just handle the real thing. Every day, just read the Proverbs. I mean, whatever day it is this the 14th? Is that right? Is this the 14th? Then read Proverbs 14 today. And preacher, I didn't start in Proverbs 1 at the beginning of the month. It doesn't matter. Whatever day it is, just start there. Proverbs 4, tomorrow it's the 15th. Read Proverbs 15. And I don't mean just glance. I mean dig into it. I mean get it. I mean say, God, show me something and teach me something. Help me to be wiser because of reading this. And so the pursuit of wisdom through the written word. All of the Bible will give you wisdom, specifically the book of Proverbs. But not only will you gain wisdom through the written word, you'll gain wisdom through the living word of God. What are you talking about? I'm talking about through Jesus Christ. There's two parts of the Bible that I would encourage young people to live in their teenage years. The book of Proverbs and the Gospels. You know what? Jesus is, the Bible proclaims him as the wisdom of God. You ought to walk with Jesus every single day. You ought to walk through with him as he walked on this earth. Read Matthew. And when you get done, read Mark. When you get done, read Luke. Then read John. Then back up and read Matthew again. I'm not saying the other parts of the Bible aren't important. Many of our young people have taken on the challenge of reading through the Bible this year. Keep doing it. But I'm going to tell you something. Add to that a daily dose of Proverbs and walking with Jesus Christ, because as you watch Christ, you'll see wisdom in action. And so, number one, a season of personal relationship with God. Number two, a season of pursuing wisdom through the written word and through spending time with Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? You still awake? All right. Number three, how about this? A season of partnering. If you go over to the book of Lamentations, this would be a wonderful verse to mark in your Bible. If you find the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in the second half of the Old Testament, And then right after the prophet Jeremiah, you'll see tucked behind that, the small book of Lamentations. Lamentations. I'm going to have you read Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. I'd encourage you as young people to mark it in your Bible. This is an important, important concept during your teenage years. All the wise young person will hear, you'll do this. Please listen to this verse, Lamentations chapter 3. Notice, if you will, verse number 27. It is good for a man that he bear the what? The yoke in his youth. Now watch this. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's a season. It ought to be a season of a personal relationship with God. It ought to be a season of pursuing wisdom. Watch this. It ought to be a season of partnering. Now stay with me here. Partnering. What does it mean? It means that you ought to spend time in the yoke. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now, what does that mean? You stop and think about that. Some people read that verse and they immediately think about the idea of developing a good work ethic. Because the yoke is something that you would get into or put two cows into or two oxen into or two mules into if you're going to plan on doing some work. And let me just stop and say, boy, the teenagers is a great time to develop your work ethic. And we'll get to that in a little bit here, and we'll talk about it in just a bit. But folks, listen to me. The yoke has more of the idea. The main teaching here is the idea of taking two and placing them together for a time so that they become one. It's talking about who, watch this, who you yoke up with. And yoking up, partnering with the right people. Now, who should I yoke up with? Well, let me just kind of say an amen to what I've already said in the second point about pursuing wisdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you know what? The best advice I can give you in this matter of yoking up is every day you make sure that you get in the same yoke with Jesus Christ and you learn of him. Yoke up with Jesus Christ. And you know what? When two animals are trained, when a brand new animal is taken and trained, and let's say that, you know, you have an oxen and it's never pulled in a yoke before. You don't take two untrained oxen and put them in a yoke. You put an experienced oxen that knows how to pull the plow, and then you put a young one in with him. And you know what they do? That young one learns by being with the other oxen that is skilled and trained and successful at what he does. You know what? You put those two together, pretty soon that young one will learn exactly what they're supposed to do by spending time in the yoke with someone who has already done it. Now listen to me, young people. I want to help you with this. Yes, you should yoke up with Jesus Christ, but in your teenage years, I promise you, the devil will do everything he can to try to destroy a relationship that is vital in your teenage years. It's time for you to yoke up with your mom and yoke up with your dad. Are you listening to me? Okay, they know things that you don't know. They've seen a part of life that you haven't seen. They've gained wisdom that you don't have. And listen to me, if I see a young person develop an I know it all attitude towards their parents, I can pretty much start the clock ticking because disaster is waiting in the future for that young person. Now listen to me, God's given you a father for a reason. Are you listening to me? God's given you a father for a reason. And you know what? One of the reasons is so that you can yoke up with him and learn some things of him. Okay? And so God's given you young ladies a mom for a reason. So you can yoke up with them. And listen, here's the thing. I think that here's what the devil's propagating. Here's what the devil's trying to convince young people of is, you know what? You need to spend your entire teenage years rebelling against and fighting against your parents. That is wicked. That is unbiblical. You can't find that in this book right here. And you know what? Look right up here. You do that, you're a fool. You're a fool. God's word calls you a fool. And you know what? Don't waste those teenage years in rebellion against a dad. Don't waste those teenage years in rebellion against your mother. Good night. Purposely, voluntarily, get into the yoke. Get into the yoke and get together and learn some things. Let me tell you, just on a church level. Let me just share this with you. Nothing's more exciting than watching a group of young people. And I've dealt with a lot of groups of young people in my 20 plus years now being here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And for 11 of those years, I was a youth pastor. And every single year, you get a brand new youth group. You say, no, you don't. Oh, yes, you do. I don't care if the seniors just left and a new group comes in seventh grade. Every year, it's like the dynamics change again. And you know what? There have been blessed times at this church as a youth pastor. I've been blessed at times to have young people grow to the point spiritually where I feel like I can challenge them to get in the yoke with me to see God do some things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, young people, let me share something with you. And again, the devil is the first rebel. He's the first one that said, I will exalt myself. He's the first one to challenge authority. He's the first one to rebel against God. And so he's been trying to teach rebellion ever since. But let me tell you what's exciting. What's exciting, listen, if you're not careful, the same stinking, wicked, worldly attitude that is out there in the world that the devil's propagated and convinced the average young person that is unchurched, that don't know any better, if you're not careful, that same wicked attitude comes into the church house. Young people, watch this. Listen to me. Man, by the time you get up in your high school years, you ought not to need me as your pastor or as your youth pastor to be ministering to you all the time. It's time for you to get in the yoke and help me minister to other young people. Are you getting this? I mean, listen, you want to see a youth group take off. You want to see some exciting things. You want to see some things take off around here. Young people, watch this. Stop fighting authority and partner with authority. In your home, in your church, partner with authority. You know what? That's called growing up. Become part of the solution, not part of the problem. Become part of the efforts to reach other young people, not be that person that always has to have somebody come and try to fix the latest whatever you're doing in your life, okay? And that's exciting. We got 28, a total of 28 going to youth conference. And so I'm excited about that. I really am. I'm also a nervous wreck about it, but I'm excited about it. And then we're going to have a great time. I promise you, it's going to be fantastic. But let me just share this with you. Watch this. I several years ago, when I was the youth pastor, and I feel like our teens right now, I mean, folks watch this, and you pray for them, by the way, you pray for them. God's on the verge of doing some pretty amazing things amongst our young people. He really is. And I know the devil's listening, but you know what? Me and him have been fighting each other for an awful long time, so I don't even try to keep secrets from him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. We got a good group of young people here. But young people, listen to me. And some of you are. Some of you are stepping up in this area, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to talk to you about this on the trip. I could take you back several years ago, and we had about the same number of kids go to camp one year. We had about 25, 26 kids come to camp one year. And you know what I did that entire time we were at camp? Yeah, we listened to the preaching, and I let God work in the hearts of the individual young people. But as a group, you know what I did with our young people? I challenged them, and I said, listen, do you want me to just be the one that ministers to you? Or do you want to start joining with me to help to learn how to minister to other young people? And I challenged our young people. I said, listen, I can teach you how to do it if you'll learn. I can teach you how to do it if you'll do it. Okay? I can show you how to do it. But I said, I will teach you how to do it, but there's no reason that if we, and I think we had 26 teens go to camp that year, I said, there's no reason that if you decided that you were going to become a partner with your youth pastor and reach out and help make these other young people feel welcome and help me disciple young people. By the way, that takes some strength. Okay, that takes some strength. That means you got to be strong, young man. It means you got to be strong, young lady. That means, you know what, when a new kid comes in, you can't let them drag you down. You got to learn how to drag them up, amen, pull them up, okay? You got to be a good influence. That don't mean you go back to set with them. That means you go back and get them to set with you. All right, that doesn't mean you adopt their attitude. That means you teach them a new attitude. And I told our young people, I said, there's no reason that a year from now at camp, we couldn't have twice as many as we had. And I'm going to tell you something. Those young people got a hold of that. I mean, they just got a hold of it. They just got excited about it. We had 26 the summer that I challenged them. The next summer, we took exactly twice that. We took 52 kids to camp. I believe Blessed Old Baptist Church could see that in a year's time right now. I think the number we have right now could be doubled by next year. But you know what? It's not going to be this guy that gets it done. It's not going to be Brother Levi that gets it done. It's not going to be Brother Reiser that gets it done. It's not going to be Brother Gordon that's going to get it done. Oh, they'll help. Hey, watch this. I'll get in the yoke if you will. I'm not asking you to go in by yourself. I'll get in if you will. Can you imagine when you get 27, 28 young people excited and dedicated and determined that they're going to start not just coming here, sitting down and saying, minister to me, but jump up and say, preacher, how can I minister to others? You realize the potential. And by the way, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's not just a good message for teenagers. That's a good message for every single person in this room. I mean, do you just come here? Come on, let me help you. Isn't it time to grow past that? I'm not talking just, listen, new converts, I get it. You know what? New babes in Christ, I get it. I understand there's a growing problem. Come on, you've been saved 4, 5, 10, 20 years, and all you do is just come, set, do something for me again. Why don't you decide to get on the team? Why don't you decide that you're going to have an impact for Jesus Christ? Why don't you decide to get in the yoke with the pastor and in the yoke with the mature Christians? Get in the yoke of the bus ministry. Get in the yoke of the youth department. Get in the yoke of the Sunday school. Decide you're going to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in the yoke. Yoke up. Yoke up. It's a season of partnering. Now look right up here. I'm almost done with this point. But this is the most important thing I'm going to hit, so I want you to get it. Watch this. You are going to yoke up with somebody during your teenage years. No, I'm just a lone ranger. I mean, I'm my own person. I don't know. You aren't. You're going to yoke up with somebody. What you ought to do is be careful. Listen, start with Jesus Christ. You yoke up with him every day. Then you start with your mom and dad after that, and you yoke up with them. And then you come to church and say, you know what? God-given spiritual authority, I'm going to be a team player. I believe this. I believe the core group of young people in our church ought to just be an extension of the pastor. They shouldn't be fighting against the pastor. They shouldn't be fighting against the ministry. They shouldn't be trying to destroy what's going on here. They ought to be working together with, and by the way, that is what ought to be happening at home too. Listen, you ought to be part of the family. Okay? Not a thorn in your mom's flesh and a thorn in your dad's flesh and something that keeps them on their knees and in tears most of the time. You ought to be a part of the family, helping your parents accomplish what their dreams or goals are for your family. And you know what? If you come in with that attitude and you say, you know what, preacher? I've got a teachable spirit. I'll get in the yoke. All right? Put me in with somebody that knows and is proven. And you know what? Let me learn from them. If you take that attitude, you'll understand this concept of partnering. And my goodness sake, from 10 years old to 12 years to 20 years old, you'll see some changes come into your life. Number four, I'm going to move hastily on. A season of productivity. A season of productivity. I've got these in order for a reason. It starts with a personal relationship with God. It starts with getting in this book and pursuing Christ through the written word, pursuing Christ through reading about him, a pursuit of wisdom. And then it starts with partnering with Christ, partnering with mom and dad, partnering with spiritual authorities in your life. And then you know what? You'll discover a season of productivity. Jesus at 12 years of age said this to his mother, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?" 12 years old. He said that at 12 years old. Is the ultimate goal of the Christian life to be like Jesus? All right, then by the time you hit 12 years old, you know what you need to be saying? It's time for me to be about my father's business. You know, one of the exciting things about coming into the youth group and hitting that 12-year-old mark, 7th grade mark right in there, is that, you know what, I've done this for years. I love to walk in with the youth and just say, how many of you are 7th graders? You're just coming into the, and we've got a good group coming into our youth group right now. And I said, you know what, watch this. For the first 10 or 11, 12 years of your life, basically someone was telling you to sit down, be quiet, listen, sit down, be quiet, listen, sit down, be quiet, listen. And it's not like you're not going to hear that a few times from now on also. But you know what? When you become a 7th grader here at Blessed Old Baptist Church, you know what we say? I say this to you. All right, are you tired of sitting? You want to get up and do something? You want to produce? We begin to plug, for those of you visitors who don't understand how this ministry works, we begin to plug our young people from 7th grade on up into service positions right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They're not spectators. They're part of what happens here. You imagine, watch this. Those of you, VBS is fresh in our mind, take every 7th through 12th grader out of VBS, Brother Reiser, and try to run it like we ran it this past week, and I don't even think we could do it. Because I don't think I can get Miss Tina to chase the witch doctor all the way down the aisle, and I don't think she's going to do it. And I know what I'm not going to do it. Are you getting this? If you would have looked with a discerning eye, there in every arena of what happened, yes, there were adults. You know why? Because they need to be in the yoke with the teens. Amen. But you know what you'll see? In every arena, in every area of a successful vacation Bible school, there's a young person that said, I'll get in the yoke. I'll volunteer. I'll pitch in. Preacher, I wouldn't miss VBS. Are you kidding? Tell me what you need us to do. And you know what? We run VBS all the way up through 7th and 8th grade, but the honest truth is most of our 7th and 8th graders, our core kids, weren't in the class. They were working somewhere. They were doing something. And so, listen, it's time to start producing. It's time to start, letting God use you in practical service to accomplish something for yourself, to be a part of the miracle of what's happening here. And I believe just as Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business. Young people, when you hit 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you need to start producing spiritually. Get into the youth group. Get busy in the youth group. Volunteer for VBS. Show up to Teen Soul Winning. Come on. The world isn't about you. It's about the lost. All right? You drama queens, stop it. You drama kings, stop it. Those of you that can't, I mean, every moment of every day, it's got to be about you. Stop it. That's not the Christian life. Christian life is dying to self. Christian life isn't about how I feel about something. It's about winning souls. It's about becoming part of the team. Come on now. Begin to produce spiritually. And you know what? One of the exciting things to watch as we plug our young people in is to get a phone call like I got. I think it was Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I don't know. But somebody needs to teach Amelia how to tell time. Oh, my goodness sakes. You know, I just getting ready to turn my light off, get into a deep sleep, you know. I mean, I'm old, okay? I got a bedtime. And the phone rings. And I see it's Bud Bovenchan. And honestly, anytime I get a phone call pretty late and it's from a church member, there's a little bit of in a pastor that just says, oh, Mo, something's wrong. And I open it, and I'm expecting Brother Bud. And Brother Bud, are you? Yes. And it was Amelia. Pastor, I just had to call you. I'm like, oh, you had to. You just had to call me. Where's she at? Right there. That's the girl. That's her. Yes. That's why I look so tired today. Her fault. It's not VBS. It's not two funerals. Her. She woke me up. And she called me and she said, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness, it's late, isn't it? I couldn't wait to tell you. Watch it. I couldn't wait to tell you. On the way home on the bus, I got to lead my first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I didn't care what time it was. I mean, you win somebody to Christ, you just call me anytime you want to call me. I'll let it go to voicemail, but you call me anytime you call me, and I'll listen to it in the morning. But come on now. One of the joys of this ministry is every single young person, as they come up through our ranks, I'll have that conversation. I'll get that call. I'll have them come run up to me before church or after you soul winning. And I'll say, you know what, preacher? Now think about this, folks. Watch this. You know what? You can accomplish everything you want to accomplish in this life. Go ahead. Pile up the gold and silver. Tell me about your fancy car and your big job. If you live and die as a Christian and go to your grave and you're not responsible for anybody else making it to heaven, you've wasted your life. Because you're not taking any of that with you. You're not taking any of it with you. Guys, no more talking. You're not taking any of it with you. Okay, I mean, if it's not about lost souls, what's it about? Come on, answer this question, adults. When's the last time you could have picked up the phone? Said, preacher, hey, God used me to get to win somebody to Christ. Go ahead, get busy in your life. Listen, we all need to hear this. But you know what? This is preparation time. This is, hey, teen soul winning. Teaching them how to go out. Every Wednesday, everybody in this area knows, every neighborhood, every city, every hamlet, every little town, Blessed Hope Baptist Church teenagers are out knocking on doors and passing out gospel tracts and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they're in that wonderful decade where it's time to start producing. By the way, I'm all for having a good time, and our young people know I am. But it shouldn't be a decade dedicated to playing. It should be a decade dedicated to producing. And you know what? If you'll work in the yoke with me to produce, you know what? We'll every once in a while lay the yoke down and do some playing. But listen, we are addicted to the pleasures of this world. Addicted to it. And the average young person spent all of their time. And listen, I don't want to be nasty. I don't want to be mean about this. But I want to tell you something. All right, I'm just going to say it. If you're from Jasonville, prepare to be insulted, okay? But if you've jumped on this addictive bandwagon of whatever the sport is and whatever, whoever's trying to, you know, I'm driving through and I'm seeing these sheets hung up. And you know what it says? It says, go Lakers, win semi-state, right? And I got to thinking, you know what? Next Wednesday, come on now, next Wednesday before soul winning, maybe some of our adults need to figure out where we're going. We go into Farmersburg, right? And maybe all the way out of town, there ought to be sheets saying, go Blessed Hope kids, win souls. If you think that there's some kind of a reward in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ for a baseball trophy, you're sadly mistaken. And yet we have committed time and attention, hours and days and weeks, and they'll travel on weekends and miss church, and all of this stuff just so that they can hopefully one day hold up some kind of a trophy that is going to burn and melt with a fervent heat one of these days when this world's destroyed. Or you can, you know, go ahead, laugh at the Blessed Hope kids. Go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. It is more important for them to win a soul. She accomplished something greater last Wednesday than any team in the state will accomplish by winning any state championship. Amen. And you know, I like saying this because I know this sermon is going to be on the radio next week. And amen. Our little city here, our little town needs to get a wake-up call. They used to have sports programs that used to at least respect the Lord's Day. That's out the window. Used to respect not having practice on Wednesday night because kids were going to Bible study. That's out the window. Sports have become a god in this community. A god in this community. And what I'm saying is this, young people, listen to me. You produce, but you produce spiritually. Look right up here. Produce financially. I'm going to hit you. Produce financially. You know what? During your teenage years, from 10 years old to 20 years old, I don't expect you at 11 to go out and get a 40-hour week job, but you know what? At 11, you ought to be doing some work. It's time for you to start producing. Are you listening to me? Producing. Learn to work. Young ladies, I talked about that yoke. Come on. You're 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 14, 15 years old. Look right. You're 15 years old, and you can't make the meal and give mom a night off. Let me say it again. You can't make the meal and give mom a night off. You walk in the door, sit down. What's for supper? Sit there playing your video. Mom, supper ready? I wouldn't. Listen, you living in my house, supper would never be ready. I'll let you sit on the couch and starve to death. Amen. Come on now. Seriously. My wife took every one of our girls, and about the time they hit 11, 12 years old, she taught them to make an entire meal. You know why? But you know why they learned that? Because they got in the yoke with mom. The yoke with mom. In the kitchen. In the kitchen. You know that place where food mysteriously appears? As if by an act of magic. You know, 16, 7. Come on, this is good for us. We're nuts. We're crazy. Well, I'll tell you what. My girl, she plays catcher here at the baseball field, and she knows how to block home plate. Yeah, that's what every guy's looking for in a woman. Well, find me a woman that can block home plate, man. That's what I want. Listen, I want one that can bake biscuits. That's what I want. That's all right. I don't know how to spell chauvinist, but just look right up here. Here it is. We're nuts. We're nuts. Oh, man, she's on the volleyball team. Well, don't even get me going there. Really? What happened to that verse about ladies being modest, in modest apparel, dressing in modest apparel? I won't even go there. What they're having our young ladies dress to play volleyball is wicked. I said it's wicked. It's wicked. Come on now. It is. It's ridiculously wicked, ridiculously immodest. And you're going to trot your daughter out in that and fill the stands full of men, and you're going to do that? All right, go ahead, but you're going to stand before God and answer for that one of these days. I said it's wicked. But you know what? Hey, I'm not against girls playing some thing, having a good time, but the idea that, you know what, we've got a bunch of jocks for girls and they can't even walk in and make a meal in their own home. What happened to the Bible where it says that women are to be keepers at home? How are they going to keep a home if they're not trained to keep the home? Hey, young ladies, you like grandma's apple pie? Oh, come on, preacher. Grandma makes it amazing. Why don't you know how to make it yet? Why don't you go yoke up with grandma? You can learn how to make an amazing apple pie. One of these days, some guy's going to eat that apple pie and say, I am in love. I'm in love. With who? Whoever made this pie. I am in love. Where is that girl? Come on now. Hey, guys aren't complicated. We're really not. All right? Come on now. What I'm saying is productivity. Productivity. See, picking on the girls. Oh, I got a whole truckload for the guys right now. What? What? Come on, I pulled our young people here the other day. Parents, get mad at me if you want to. I am not going to ever listen to a teenager, core kid, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or bus kid look at me and tell me, you can't afford camp. What are you talking about? You're 14, 15, 16 years of age. You can't make $100 for camp. You got 2 or 3 months notice, 90 days notice, and you can't make $1 a day and go to camp. Parents, listen to me. If you're letting that boy sit on his rear end at your house and not work, you know what you're doing? You're raising somebody that's going to be a liability to this country. A liability to this country. It's unpatriotic not to teach your boy to work. There's givers and there's takers. We got a whole society of takers sitting around waiting for somebody else to take care of them. Good night. I'm going to sound like an old man right now, but listen to me, man. I'm going to tell you, watch this. Listen, folks. At 12, guys, no more talking. Okay, you're disrespecting me, and I'm not going to put up with that. No more talking while I'm preaching. Thank you very much. Good guys. Just need a little training, amen. These are good guys. Watch this. Stay with me. You know what? 12 years of age, I begged Dad to let me take a job. You know why? Because I was going to work either way. I'd either have to go home and work for him for nothing, or I could go work for somebody and make some money. Okay? First job I got, paid $1 an hour. And that was back when minimum wage was like $2.75. The guy was ripping me off, but I didn't care. It was $1 more than Dad would pay me an hour. You know what? I don't get this. Well, I mean, there was something inside of us boys. We'd fight over opportunities to work. Man, if we heard about a job or someplace somebody needed something, they'd pay us for it. Man, we'd run over each other to get to it. You know what? Because, there's a satisfaction. There is a built-in reward as a man. I said a man. Childhood was last week, okay? Okay, let them play. Now you're in the preparation decade. There's something about going out and working a job and working on by the sweat of your brow and toughing it out and wanting to quit but not quitting and working, and then somebody writing you a check or handing you cash and you walk home and you know what? There's a reward of that, of look at that. Look what God helped me earn. Look what I got the strength. How are you going to provide for a wife and a child one of these days if you go all the way from 10 years old to 20 years old and you've never earned a nickel in that time period? Work! Work! Produce! Produce! Parents, I'm gonna help you if you'll let me. We are handing our kids, our teenagers, too much free money. We're handing them too much money. Mom, I don't have money for this. Look at them and say, why don't you? Why don't you? You crippled? Mental defect? Why don't you? Why don't you? Well, can't find a job. I've never had trouble finding a job. You know why? Because if I didn't have a job, I did have a job. I said because if I didn't have a job, I did have a job.
You know what my job was? Finding a job. I'm teaching you something. Stay with me. My job was finding a job. So if I didn't have a job, I did have a job. It means I got up as if I had a job. And I packed a lunchbox. And I went out. And I knocked on doors and knocked on doors and knocked on doors and knocked on doors. Never done that. Never one time, Brother Joe, done that and not had a job in a couple days. But you're going to sit on the couch and somebody's supposed to come knock on your door. Are you listening to me? I hope I'm helping you here. Watch this, folks. In these years, these important teenage years, oh, they're going to have to work their whole life. You know what? We can't ask them to do it. That is a lie. They ought to be producing financially, learning to work, learning to save, learning to earn their own way, learning to pay for something. Every teenager, next school, when the school year starts next fall, you ought to buy your own school clothes. You ought to buy your own school clothes. You ought to buy your own school supplies. Come on, I'm setting the goal. I'm throwing the gauntlet down. Come on. Well, that's mom and dad's job. For how long? Come on, answer me, for how long? See, you're going to have that mentality when you're 15, 16, 17, and I'll come visit your house when you're 25, 26, 27, and you're going to be sitting there still being taken care of mom and dad. It's killing this nation. It's killing this nation. Let me give you the last point. We'll be done, a season of purity. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. All right, I'm done, but look up here. Young people, from the time you're 10 to the time you're 20, if you're still unmarried when you're 20, you're supposed to be pure. Oh, preacher, that's old-fashioned. Yeah, I know how old-fashioned it is. It's just as old-fashioned as this book is right here. That's what God says. That's what God commands. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know. Things are just done different. They're done wrong. Okay, the world hasn't gotten better. Every one of you young people in these years, you need to be pure. You need to walk down an aisle, young lady, one of these days, be able to wear a white dress. Walk down the aisle and be able to put a pure arm into the arm of a pure young man. And by the way, I'm sick and tired of this double standard. It's just as biblical for a young man to show up at a marriage altar pure and clean as it is a young lady to show up at the marriage altar pure and clean. What I'm saying is this: these are precious, precious years. But you know what? It's a season of preparation. You know why? Because at the end of this decade, life's going to get real. And for the young people that prepare, they transition into it and are extremely successful. For the ones who don't prepare, they go into their 20s and literally, watch this, they implode. They don't make it. You know why? You did not take the time to prepare for that next 10 years. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what we were able to preach on and teach, dear God. Lord, someone's got to sound the trumpet. Somebody's got to get up and say what's not popular to have said. Somebody needs to hit a reset button of just good old-fashioned common sense. God, help us. Lord, I pray that every grandparent would help their grandchildren in this. Every mom and dad, dear God, that take back on them the mantle of being the parent and begin to instill and insist on some things. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to raise a generation of young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with old-fashioned ethics and old-fashioned work ethic. And Lord, willing to live purely and right before you, willing to put their labor in the harvest field, be about their Father's business. God, I pray that you'd help them to partner with wise people, pursue wisdom, Lord. Pray that they would have a meaningful relationship with you. Oh, God, please deal with the hearts of our young people. We pray these things in Jesus' name.